I'm a story type person. And, you know, when I listen to music, if the music doesn't have a story, if it's not telling me a story, then it's hard for me to get excited about it. But if it's telling me a story and I can follow it, I love it. And the most exciting thing about being on a church plant is how you get to see God work in people's lives and the stories that you hear. And I know when I grew up over in Alton, and then when we went and planted the church in Wentzville, I've seen God change so many people's lives in drastic ways. And I've had people come into my life who I would have probably had absolutely nothing in common with, I would have never had a relationship with, I would have never connected with them if it wasn't for God and the church. And some of those relationships that I would have never had, had I not known those people, if I would have never been to that church, never planned that church, I would have missed out on some of the greatest relationships of my life. You know, when I moved over there, I felt like I had been kind of burned, and I kind of kept some of my guy friends at an arm's distance because I felt like I had been kind of stabbed in the back by some friends. And through God and through the church plant and developing new relationships, I've realized, man, I have some guy friends who I know have my back and who bless and benefit my life. And I don't know exactly what it is for you guys or how it's going to come together for you, but I know God has incredible plans for the church plant. He blessed my life through it. I've seen so many lives blessed over in the Wentzville area, and so many lives change and cycles be broken to see people come from hurts and habits and hang-ups and addictions and see God take those things and say, no, we can do away with those and we can put you on a different path. And to see people who grew up in really kind of messed up and broken families and having children now, and their kids don't deal with the same stuff that they had to grow up with. You know, it's exciting. I'm kind of a, when it comes to something like this, I'm kind of a spaz. As you get to know me, you'll see that. I'm kind of hyper, but it's because I really am truly excited about what God has done and what he wants to do over here. And so when we started talking about, man, what do we want to do for the first few weeks at Collinsville, at the new church plant? What do we want to start talking about? And we decided we wanted to talk about a new church. And not only a new church, but basically talk about why you need a church and why it's something that can bless and benefit your life. See, we live in a society today that wants to tell you, you know, you don't have to go to church. You don't really need church. You can live a totally separate life. As long as you believe in God, you're good to go. No need for the church. And the sad thing about living in a society that has taught us that and brought us up in that way of thinking is that we're missing out on so many good things when you're missing out on the church. You know, like I told you before, my relationship with the church has changed my life considerably and blessed my life in ways I would never imagine. And so as we looked at it, you know, last week we walked down through, I think it was like five different things of why you need a new church. And so what we're going to do for the next few weeks is we're going to go point by point down that lesson and say, this is what this point means, and this is why you need a new church. And if you've got that in your head, man, I don't really need a church. Yeah, it's nice. I'm going to come support these people as they're starting this new thing. I promise you, if you will stick it out through this series, you will understand not only why you need it and why it's a blessing in your life, you're also going to come to find out that God is pretty clear that if you don't have a relationship with his people, it's really impossible to have a relationship with him. And contrary to what the world and what a lot of churches and religious people have told us is, you need a relationship with God, and you also need a relationship with his people, because it's one of the most powerful tools in the way that he works in our lives is through his church, through his kingdom, through his people. So the first point last week was, man, I need to go to a church, and I need a church because it helps me to focus on God. And a lot of people are like, well, I can do that on my own. You can't do it as effectively on your own. You know, I think about times whenever I have friends who have to travel from work and they get disconnected, and they tell me all the time, when I'm not around the body, it's so much harder for me to be close to God. When I'm not around the church, it's so much easier for me to find myself involved in things that I shouldn't be involved in. When I find that separation, I just don't have that support that I need. And they're exactly right. And your focus is one of the most important things in your life. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 21, Jesus is telling a story and he's telling parables. And he says this to the people listening. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, to start off with this passage, you're looking, you're like, oh, well, that's about money. You can replace money there with a lot of different things, all right? You guys understand that, right? There are different things that we focus on in our lives and that we worship, and it affects everything else, right? You guys have probably had a friend, none of you obviously have ever done this, but you probably had a friend who was in a bad relationship before, right? And you watch that friend make this one person their entire world, right? And then it goes south and everything in their life starts to crumble, right? Because you can find anything to focus your life around. In this passage, he happens to be dealing with the fact that people are focused on money. But what he's really trying to get across to us is the fact that what we concentrate, what we focus on is extremely important. The things that you look at, those are the things that you're gonna that you start focusing in on. Those are the things that eventually you're gonna love. You see, a proper focus is vital because, first of all, what I focus on is what I treasure. What you look at for a long time, you start focusing on it, you look at it, you start to really value it. You know, I think about relationships. You know, I remember whenever I was at SIUE and I was up there doing something for our campus ministry, and I saw this girl walking across the quad with these like jack quads, like, and I was like, whoa, that is a good looking woman. And then she gets over closer and she gets close to us, and I go up and I invite her something to our campus ministry, and I want her to come, and I'm inviting everybody, but I'm really hoping she comes to our thing, right? Because I've already started to focus on it. And then for the next like few weeks at school, every time I get the opportunity, like I'm like pretty much stalking her, to be quite honest. You know, I'm like following her to class, and I'm hanging out where I know she's going to be and stuff like that. And I focused on her, and I began to treasure her. And I was like, that's something that I value. And so, you know, I started talking to her roommate. I started doing all these things in order to gravitate towards her and develop a relationship, because I was focusing on her and I was beginning to treasure her. It became something that I really liked. She's my wife now, just so you guys know, if you're like, this dude's weird. But she can show you her quads later if you ask her to. They're pretty jacked still. But actually tomorrow's our 18th anniversary, which is pretty cool. But you know, the things that you focus on, that's going to become something that you treasure. You know, whenever I think about this concept, I think about the Lord of the Rings, and you know, he's like, oh, the ring, you know, like he focuses in the deeper, the more he focuses on it, the more he treasures it. And then what you treasure is what you come to love. It becomes something that you really, really love and you desire. And the thing about that is what you love is what begins to control you. When you fall in love with something, the things that you focus on, the things that you begin to treasure, you start loving those things. And we all know when you love something, it is going to control your behaviors. It is going to make you do. I have done some of the dumbest things I've ever done because of love. I think about, you know, even when I first met Hannah, you know, it was late one night, and I was talking to her roommate, her college roommate, and I was like, what does she like? And she's like, she likes cereal. Okay, what kind of cereals does she like? She likes this kind and this kind. Well, okay, what else does she like? She likes yellow roses. So here I am at like 1 something in the morning, leaving my house in Alton, driving to the Schnucks in Edwardsville, getting all the stuff that she likes and taking it up to the school. Because love, when you love things, it controls your behavior, right? You've seen this with a lot of different things. Sometimes it can be something that can be kind of positive. Other times you focus on something and you begin to treasure it and you love it, and it destroys your life, because you focused on the wrong things. See, our focus is extremely important because it is eventually going to lead to where it begins to control the way you make decisions and what you do. Most of us in this room have either been in this place or experienced it through a family member or friend, and we've seen addiction destroy people, right? You know, in the whole Metro East, in the St. Louis area right now, we have a pretty serious heroin issue. You know, and you see these things, and well, what happens? People see something, they start to focus on it, they try it, they treasure it, then they start to love it, and then it controls every decision that they make. You know, the same thing can be with a job, right? You can look at a job and say, man, I really like this job, and you get focused in on it, and then you begin to treasure it, and then you start to love it, and it starts to become your identity, and then your family's like, why is my dad never home? Why are my parents never around? Because he loves his job so much that it's controlling his decision-making. But the greater problem than any of those things is that, see, my focus eventually, my focus determines what I treasure and then what I love, and then it begins to control my life. We need to understand that my focus eventually will determine my eternity. You see, you can't serve all of these other things in life and put them above God and expect to have a right relationship with God. And the reason that the church is so important is the church helps us to focus on the right things. You know, there have been times in my past where I've started to focus on something and someone, one of my brothers and sisters of Christ, have to grab a hold of me and be like, "Kerry, what are you doing? Like, why are you focusing on that? Why is that?" And I'm looking at him like, man, I was headed down a dangerous path. Luckily, I had someone who loved me enough in the church to say, "Hey, Kerry, you're focused on the wrong things and it's going to damage your future if you don't change that focus. You need to be focused on these things." And I immediately started seeing my life change and good things happen in my life. When my college students that I work with in our college ministry, it is so easy for them to get focused. And you know, they need people around them. And whenever I go to one of them or my wife or one of our small group leaders or one of the guys in their group come up and say, "Hey, I've noticed you've really been focused on this. This is kind of a dangerous thing for you." I've seen people listen and their lives are blessed. And I've seen people ignore other people who are trying to help them focus. And I've seen them crash their lives. See, what the church is designed to do is it's designed to help you learn to focus on God and to help you keep the focus where it needs to be, because eventually your focus is going to determine what you love, what you treasure, and it's going to control what you do, and it will determine where you end up in eternity. And so we need the church. We need other people around us to keep us focused. So, well, how does the church do that then? If our focus is so important and the church is there and it's designed to help us keep our focus, how does it go about doing that? Well, the first way is the church provides others to help me focus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47, it says this: "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer, and all of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying all the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." See, what the church is designed to be and what the church has become are not, they don't look very much alike at all. You see, what church today tends to look like is you go to a building on a Sunday morning and you go and you set your rear in a seat, right? And you listen to a sermon and you listen to a concert and then you leave. And then the next Sunday you come back and you do the same thing again and you just cycle that. We go to church, we come in, we leave. We go to church, we come in, we leave. And we feel good about ourselves because we're like, "Hey, I did the right thing. I went to church." But really, if that's what our definition of church is, we're not going to have a very good group. We're not going to be able to stay very focused because there's no relationship there. You see, the church of God was designed to be a place where you have relationships, where you're involved in each other's lives. When you look at that passage we just read, it says all the believers were together and had everything in common. If anyone had a need, they would sell their stuff to make sure that people had what they need so they could stay focused on their relationship with God. It said that they met in their houses, that they would hang out together, they would eat together. They were together on a consistent basis. They were involved in each other's lives. You know, if back then you were to say, "Hey, you know," to the first century church, you'd be like, "Who's your crew?" They would be like, "My church is my crew. These are the people who I roll with. These are the people I'm connected to. These are the people who are my intimate relationships. These people are," you know, the Bible describes the church as a family, as a body, as a connected vine. Like, all of those things have to do with a deep connection. But for some reason in our society, what we think church is coming and sitting in a building and listening to somebody talk at you for a while and then leaving. But what we really need, if you really want to stay focused on God, is you need relationships. You need people who know you. And that can be a scary thing. I understand that, right? It can be a scary thing to be known, to allow people to know about the hurts in our past. It's a scary thing to let people know about the struggles that we have or the things that we're dealing with now. And we're prideful and we don't want to let that happen. But the problem with that is when we hold all that in, no one can come alongside us and put their arm around us and say, "You know what, we're going to do this together. I'm going to help you overcome the hurts from your past." One of the greatest things I've seen in our church is our Wounded Heart Ministry for victims of sexual abuse in the past. And people are dealing with these things on their own for so long, and we try to stuff them down, and we try to act out, and we try to do. But then when all of a sudden you have somebody come alongside you, and they put their arm around you, and they say, hey, we're going to go through this together. We're going to work through this issue together. And they take steps together, and their relationships build, and we start helping each other focus on God, our lives start changing. That's why with the campus ministry, it's so exciting for me, because a lot of people, I worked at a university for 6 years, and I saw a lot of kids come in, and they would come and they would be there for school to get an education, but they would end up dropping out because they would be partying so much. They would end up dropping out. Multiple girls got themselves hurt and were assaulted. Like, you know, a lot because of decisions they're making. One of the great things about the college ministry to me is I see college kids come in, and even if they start to get mixed up, they have these godly men and women around them who can put their arms around them and say, well, all right, we're going to do this together. Let's stay focused on God. Let's get through this. And then I see them get through school, and I see them graduate, and I get to see, you know, I've been doing it 21 years now. I get to see their families later on down the road, and then I get to see their parents go, man, I'm so glad you have a different family than what we had. Because the church is designed to help us focus on God. We need relationships in order to keep that focus. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7, it says this, watch out, brothers and sisters, so that none of you have an evil, unfaithful heart that abandons the living God. Instead, encourage each other every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you become insensitive to God because of sin's deception. We are partners with Christ, but only if we hold on to the confidence we had in the beginning until the end. You see, again, you look at this passage, and what's he saying to them? He's saying, look out for each other. Watch out for each other, brothers and sisters, so that none of you have an unfaithful heart that abandons God. He's saying you need to help each other focus. And then he says, encourage one another daily. Doesn't that sound relational? Doesn't that sound like these people are close? Because that's what the church was designed to be. The church helps us to focus on God by bringing us together with people of a like mind who have committed to the same things, who can help encourage and challenge and push us to stay moving forward. You know, one of the things that people tease our family a lot, and a lot of the people in our ministry, because they do CrossFit. And I don't know what you guys know about CrossFit, but what most people hear about CrossFit and what actually happens in a CrossFit gym are not the same things. Some of you have probably seen the CrossFit fail videos on YouTube, and yes, they are hilarious. That's not really typical of what really happens. But one of the things that CrossFit is known for is the community that it has. You know, you normally go into a gym, right? And when you get onto a treadmill at a normal gym and you look down the row, what do you see? A bunch of people running, right? What do they have on their heads? Headphones, almost every time, right? When you go into a CrossFit gym, I think the reason that it's really taken off is when you go to a regular gym, you put your headphones on, there's no one there to help you, there's no one there to train you, there's no one to teach you, there's no one there to encourage you, because you've got headphones in your head and you're doing it all on your own. It's probably why so many of us fail in our diets. But when you go into a CrossFit gym, the difference in it really is it's a community of people. You don't go into a CrossFit gym and see people in headphones. You see people standing in a circle, and you see them working together. You see them correcting each other. You see them cheering each other on. You see them doing these things. And CrossFit gyms have a pretty high retention rate. And I think that's because of the fact that there's a community there that sees a goal. And they're like, we're all trying to get in shape together. And they don't go in and do it by themselves, but they do it as a group. And it's fun and it's exciting. I think that's why a lot of the people from our church like doing it, is because we're used to being in that kind of community already when it comes to our relationship with God. So when we go to CrossFit, we're like, hey, this just fits. It feels right. You know, but that's what the church is supposed to be like. And that relationship that you have with the church, that focus, that help of focusing that you get from God's people, is so much more important than anything you're ever going to get from a gym. See, God wants you to be a part of a church because he wants you to have people to help you focus, and you do that by connecting with other people. The second way is the church gives me instruction to help me focus. You know, a lot of people today, they don't really know a lot about the Bible. You know, not many people sit down and actually open the Bible, and when they do, I don't know if you guys are like this, but for most of our college kids, they're like, I don't understand what the Bible's saying. I don't read it because I have a hard time figuring out how it applies in my life. I don't understand what it's telling me or asking me to do. That's a very, very common thing. But one of the things the church was designed to do is to help instruct people on what the Word of God says so that we're able to look at it and see God more clearly. You know, I don't know how many of you guys have you ever had a really, really good teacher who could take the most complex things and break it down for you where it's so simple and you walk out of class going, I can't believe I now understand that. Because I've been there before where I had a teacher who was just so awesome and the way they communicated things made it so much more clear. Well, the church is designed to do that for you in your relationship with God. The teaching, the instruction that you get. In Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul's talking here and he says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, there are a lot of ways that you can learn and you can help, people can help instruct you on how to focus in your relation with God. Have you ever went to maybe a concert before and you weren't real excited about it until you got there and there were 30,000 people there? And they were all singing the same song, the same lyrics, right? And it helps you focus in. There's recently a video floating around on Facebook. I think it's a Green Day concert. And there's like thousands of people. And you can see Phil in the field. And somebody out in the crowd starts singing Bohemian Rhapsody. Have you guys seen that video? And then the next thing you know, you hear it start getting louder and louder. And by the end of the video, there's 40,000 people singing Bohemian Rhapsody because they're all just sitting there waiting on this concert. But they're all focused on one thing together. And they're singing. And I don't know about you guys, but there's something about whenever I come in and I'm having a hard time focusing on God. When you come to church and I think you think of getting instructed, people tend to think of a sermon or a Bible study, things like that. For me, when I come in and we start singing and we're singing songs and we're singing hymns and we're saying prayers and I'm hearing people pour out their hearts, there's something about that that helps me narrow my focus and see God a lot more clearly. I can be having the worst morning and it can be so stressful and so messed up. And then I come and I walk into the building and we start singing and I hear God's people singing. And all of a sudden, all those distractions and all the things that are pulling me away and all the things that are messing with my head start kind of fading out. And I'm like, you know what? Man, God is a good, good Father. You know, and you start thinking about the fact that he does love us. Look at the people he's put in my life. And all of a sudden my focus narrows and I'm back at where I need to be, where I need to keep my life centered, and that's on God. See, the church, there are a lot of ways that the church can instruct and help keep you focused on God, but you have to allow it, right? You can choose to go to church and not be instructed. People do it all the time. That's why Christians are viewed as hypocrites, because so many people, what they do is they go to church, they hear instruction, but they do absolutely nothing with it. But if you go and you choose and to have an attitude that says, man, I want to be focused on God, you're going to find that. If you look at Acts 11, 25 and 26, it says, Barnabas went to the city of Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found Saul, he brought him to Antioch. And then it says, for a whole year, Saul and Barnabas met with the church and taught many people there. In Antioch, the followers were called Christians for the first time. You know, you're going back to the very roots of Christianity when you look at the first century church, when you look at Acts, the book of Acts. You know, and if you want to find out what something's supposed to be like years and years later, what do? You go back to the beginning, right? You go back to find the original thing and say, this is how it started. This is what it should look like. And what you see is you see Paul and Barnabas and the other apostles, and they're going around to churches and they're instructing, they're teaching, they're preaching the Word of God. At the Crossings, you know, we hope that you can get that on a Sunday, that you can come to church and you can hear something and you can be like, man, I can actually do something with that. That's one of the major goals of our Sunday service, is for people to be able to apply this ancient-seeming book to their everyday life. But even beyond that, you know, it isn't just about being instructed from a preacher or from a staff member or things like that. You know, we have a lot of our members are willing to sit down and they're willing to sit down and open the Bible with people and say, this is what the Bible says about your life. This is what it means to really seek God. And this is how you apply it in your life. And this is what the Word of God is all about. And like, they will sit there and they've been trained to do that because we believe that one of the purposes of the church is to teach the Word of God so that you can focus more clearly on Him. And that purpose isn't meant just for preachers. It isn't meant just for staff members or ministers or pastors or whatever you want to call them. It is meant for all of the members to be able to do that for one another. And so we try, that's something we try to take seriously at the Crossings Church is, man, if you're having trouble focusing on God, let's sit down and let's look into His Word and find out how we can be instructed on how to do that more clearly. See, the church gives me other people to help me focus. They give me instruction that helps me focus on God. And the church also gives me activities to help focus on God. And there are lots of those things. Like, I think about, for the college ministry, we do some crazy events. We do a big root beer kegger every year. And I know it sounds crazy and it sounds like something a church totally wouldn't be doing. But we do a root beer kegger and we do root beer keg stands, which seeing carbonated root beer come out of somebody's nose can be a blast. I promise you, it's hysterical. But we do root beer pong and we do all these stupid things at this event. And it really is a goofy event, but for whatever reason, 1,000 college students come out to it pretty much every year. And we do those things. And those activities, while it seems like those things are maybe just goofy or fun, we do those things with a purpose at the Crossings. We do things like the block party with a purpose because we want people to focus on God. With the root beer kegger, there are so many wild and crazy things that happen on a college campus. We want to show people, hey, you can come act like a total idiot and have root beer coming out your nose doing a root beer keg stand and have one of the most fun nights you've ever had in your entire life and have no consequences waking up the next morning saying, why did I do what I did last night? And you get to meet people who can help you focus on God. That we want to be a church that provides every single opportunity we can for people to be able to say, man, I see God more clearly now because of that. And that can be those type of things, or it can be things like the service projects that take place. You know, our teens have went many different places on mission trips. Going down, they went to Louisiana and they've helped clean up. They went to Joplin and they go to, you know, different places. And they go with the intent of serving people so that people can see God more clearly. And you see that same thing in the church early on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7, Paul is telling the church in Corinth about another church, and he says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. And they gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had early made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You see, Paul is talking about the Macedonian church to the Corinthian church, and he's saying, hey, they've jumped in and they were going through a lot of really rough stuff, and they have extreme poverty in Macedonia, but they were still looking and they're saying, man, we want to do something as a church to help other people find God. We want to support this ministry of what's going on. And so they were willing to give themselves in order to do that. And he's telling the Corinthian church, you know, you do that same thing because it helps you to focus. It helps you to get involved in serving people is something that the Crossings, we want to make sure that we are doing on a consistent basis. So we're doing anything and everything that we can to help the people around us, and providing opportunities to do so helps us to focus on God. You know, over at one of the most incredible blessings that we have over at the Crossings in Wentzville is a ministry called our New Heights Ministry. And some of you know what our New Heights Ministry is about, but basically, when we moved over there in 2004, we started doing a vacation Bible school. We've never done that before, and we've only done it maybe twice in our history. But we were like, man, let's do this vacation Bible school. So we did it. And we started having a lot of kids come from these two particular neighborhoods, mostly the one called the Heights. And then there was also one called the Valley. And all these kids started showing up, and we would take them home at night. And what we started noticing was that the Heights and the Valley weren't the greatest of neighborhoods, first of all. But after the last night, my cousin Chandler, and at the time I think his fiance, I don't think they're married yet, were they? They took these kids home, and they're dropping them off at homes where people are passed out drunk, or where they're dropping off like 7 and 8 year olds, and no one's there. There's a note just saying just to leave the kids. You know, like, it's a bad neighborhood. It's messed up what takes place in this neighborhood. And Laura and Chandler pull over on the side of the road. As they're headed home, and they cry because they're looking at this neighborhood and these kids, and there's a hopeless situation for so many of those kids. And their hearts are breaking for them. So they call, and Chandler's like, telling my dad, he's like, man, we got to do something about this. We've got to figure this out. And so my dad was like, okay, what are you going to do then? You know, like, what's going to happen? And so over the next few months, we developed New Heights, which is a tutoring and mentoring program for kids who live in that neighborhood. And on Thursdays, they go and they take the buses out there and they pick them up and they bring them to the church building and they feed them a hot meal and they sit down and they do tutoring and they work through their school stuff with them. But more importantly, they're connecting them with members of our church and older brothers and sisters who can really mentor and get involved in their lives and say, man, it doesn't have to be the way it is. I know it's really hard the way you're growing up right now. I know it's difficult, the things that you're struggling through. And I'm sorry that you have to do that, but someday you can have something different. Your family doesn't have to live this way. And the awesome thing is now we've seen people come through that ministry from the time that they were in grade school and now they're in our college ministry. These are kids who never thought they'd go to college. And here they are in our college ministry and they're going and they're getting degrees and they're going out and they're going to be planting churches and they're involved in ministry. You guys, that opportunity has helped so many, not just of the kids from the Heights, but our members to focus on God and realize why a relationship with God is so important. It's important because a relationship with God and focusing on Him is the hope not only for our lives, but it's the hope for the world. And we want to be a church that provides every opportunity that we can to be able to go out and help the people who are in need of help. Jesus said that He says He came here for the sick, not for the healthy. We want to be a church that makes sure that we're focusing on the people who are needing God's help more than anything. And we can do that by providing opportunities and activities for us to help each other and to help them focus on God. In James 1:27, it says, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. And you look at that passage, and really what he's saying, that's the Message translation. It's a paraphrase, actually, not a translation. He's paraphrasing what it says, and it says, listen, real religion is whenever you get involved in helping people who need it. I love the way that he puts that, the loveless in their plight. You know, there are so many people out there in our world who look and they feel completely unloved, and they feel rejected, and they feel like they're never going to matter, and they're never going to amount to anything, and they're never going to do anything with their lives. And God says, no, if we can help them find a relationship with me, if we can get them in a church that will love them, that if we can get them in a church that will help them to focus on me and connect them with other people and instruct them on what a relationship with me looks like and what the Word of God really means and how it applies to their life, if we can get them connected with activities and serving in ministries that change people's lives, they're going to focus on me and everything can be different than they ever imagined. That's what the church is designed to do. Not what it's been doing, you know. The church, we have churches all over the United States that are making very, very, very little impact on people's lives. That's not the church. We've got to refocus on God and refocus on what He made the church to be. If you're here today and you're like, man, I just don't know about being involved in a church, I really hope you will come and listen to this, the rest of this series, because I think it will really change your mind about what the church is. To be quite honest, if church was what most places portray it being, I wouldn't want anything to do with church either. I feel very fortunate that I was a PK, and you guys know what most PKs are like, right? All those preacher kids, they're the worst kids, right? They're the ones who get in the most trouble. They're the ones who get everybody else in trouble. PKs are a mess, generally speaking. But in talking to my preacher kid friends, most of them are like that because they say they grew up in homes where one of a few things happened. One was that their parents were completely different people than they were when they were in front of the church. So they saw that hypocrisy and they're like, I want nothing to do with it. Another thing is they've been a part of churches that mistreated them and treated them poorly and didn't take care of them and was more concerned with the other things. And so they looked at the church and they're like, nope, I don't want anything to do with that either. And for me, I was fortunate to grow up where I had parents who really did model what I heard them saying to other people. I didn't see hypocrisy. They weren't perfect by any means. All right, my parents are just like anybody else. They're human, they have problems, they screw up, they do dumb things. We would argue, we fight, we still do to this day. But there has never been a question in my mind if my dad and mom's hearts were where they said they were. And then on top of that, I was a part of a church that was the same way. Imperfect, full of imperfect, messed up people who've done a lot of really dumb, bad, terrible, horrible, sinful things. But God has turned their lives around. And because of that, I got to see authenticity in the church. And I got to see people who really were trying to be different, but weren't afraid to be honest with their flaws and their faults. And I got to see people who said, you know what, but our mission has to be to help other people find what we have. And I watched that over and over and over again. That's the reason I'm a part of a church. Because I know what it can be, and I know what it should be. And I want to make sure I'm doing everything that I can to make sure the Crossings in Wentzville and the Crossings at the Interbelt and the Crossings in Collinsville is the kind of church that God wants us to have. Because if churches could be like that, a lot more people would be willing to come. So I just want to encourage every man, come back to this the rest of this series and see what God is trying to say to you and see what he's trying to say about what it looks like to be involved with a church that is functioning the way he designed it to, and allow the church to help you focus on God in a way maybe you never have been able to before. Maybe you've never found that community. You know, in your bulletins there, I think there's a communication card, right? There's a card that looks like this. And it says the Crossings Church on the back, but there's like a place on there, and there's a place for your name and address and all kinds of things that we can stalk you with. You know, we really won't do that, I promise. We won't just, some strange person isn't going to show up at your house. But it really is about the bottom section where it says my decision today down there. You know, I don't know where everybody stands right now, but I know that God has great plans for your life, and I know that he wants you to be involved in his church and in his kingdom. And you may say, I just don't know much about it. Well, then check out with like a personal Bible study. Maybe you feel like you're at square one and you don't know where to go. That's fine. The church was designed to help you focus on God, to instruct you in that. And sit down with and open the Bible with somebody maybe who invited you and say, what does it look like? What does a relationship with God really look like? And let them help you. Some of you look and you've been studying the Bible for a while and you know, but you've never really surrendered your life to God. And the Bible says at that point when you surrender your life to God is when you're baptized into Christ. And that old life is washed away and you're raised to a new life. You know, as you go down through, I don't know for all of you where you're at or what you need to check, but I know even, you know, for those of you who I know really well, for the members, we have a constant decision we have to make about what kind of church we're going to have. If the Crossings Collinsville is going to be a great church that makes a difference in people's lives, it's going to require that all of our members take these things that the church is supposed to be doing seriously. I don't know what decision that you need to make personally today, but I know that God wants you to get more connected. I know that he wants you to be able to focus on him in a way that changes everything for you. So in just a moment, we're gonna pray. And when we pray, that's an opportunity. The worship team's gonna come up and sing a song. While they're singing that first song, it's a chance for you to fill out that card. You know, during the second song, that's a chance for you. We're gonna stand up and sing. The baskets will be passed by for our members. That's the chance for you to put your card in your contribution as that goes by. One of the things that we do at all the Crossings locations is we want our members to put their card in there because we know that we have not arrived. We have a lot of changing and a lot of developing and a lot of growing to do. So we fill out that card just like everybody else because we understand that. The other thing is that our members, they give a contribution to keep the ministry going at the Crossings. It's how we're able to rent the facility. It's how we're able to plant churches, things like that. But for our guests, we want you to know we didn't get you here to get your money. So many churches, that's what they're known for. We did not get you here to get your money. So as that goes by, don't worry about putting any money in there at all. Just put that card in there and allow God a chance to help develop your relationship with him and help you focus more on him more clearly. And just give him an opportunity to see what he's going to do. You know, give the Crossings a chance. To see what it can do in your life and what it can help you learn to do in other people's lives. And I promise you, if you will give God that opportunity, you'll be shocked with what he's able to do, because I've seen him do it over and over again. I would think after all this time, I wouldn't be shocked when I see God do something crazy, but I am. He does awesome things all the time, but we've got to make some decisions about whether or not we're going to allow that. All right, let's pray, and then the worship team will come up with some. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for the opportunity today for us to be here, God, to be at the second service for the Crossings is exciting. God, I pray that the services at our other locations are going great right now, God. But I pray more than anything that you'll help us to be able to focus on you, and that we'll realize that the church was designed to help us focus on you and to be more like you, and that you'll help us to take advantage of that, God. Help us to always love you, put you first. Help us to love each other as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.